Tiravana Chari Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Kunja Vihari Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya. Let's do it together. Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Anvitam stam swajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vichakhanvitam Shcha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So we are reading from 3rd Canto, Chapter 19, Text 23. Tadadithe samabhavat Sahasaridi vipathuhu Smarantya bhartu radesham Sthana chakshrit prasusruve Tadaditeha sambhavat Sahasaridi vipathuhu Smarantyaha bhartuhu adesham Tanatcha Ashrik Prasusruve. Tadaditehe Samabhavat. Sahasaridi Vipatyuhu. Smarantya Bharturadesham. Sthanachakshri Prasusruve. Devotees repeat it. Smarantyabharturadesham Stana Chakshrit Prasusruve Tehe Samabhavat Sadahasari Divipatuhu Smarantyabharturadesham Stana Chakshrit Prasusruve Adideha Samabhavat Sahasari Dive Patuhu Smarantya Bharturadesham Stana Chakshrit Prasusruve Tada. At that moment, Ditehe of Diti Samabhavat occurred Sahasa suddenly Riddhi in the heart Vipatuhu a shudder Smarantyaha recalling Bhartuhu of her husband Kashyapa Adesham the words Stanat from her breast Cha and Ashrik, blood, Prasusruve, flowed. At that very moment, a shudder suddenly ran through the heart of Diti, the mother of Hiranyaksha. She recalled the word of her husband Kashyapa and blood flowed from her breasts. Purport. At Hiranyaksha's last moment, his mother Diti remembered what her husband had said. Although her sons would be demons, they would have the advantage of being killed by the personality of Godhead himself. She remembered this incident by the grace of the Lord and her breasts flowed blood instead of milk. In many instances, we find that when a mother is moved by affection for her sons, milk flows from her breasts. In the case of the demon's mother, the blood could not transform into milk, but it flowed down her breasts as it was. Blood transforms into milk. To drink milk is auspicious, but to drink blood is inauspicious. Although they are one and the same thing, this formula is applicable in the case of cow's milk also. So today is probably going to be the shortest Bhagavatam class ever. We have to stop at 8:45. Aren't you happy about that? Yes. No. Okay, I want to start today's class by telling you this thing, okay? Next month I'll be back on a Wednesday and I'll ask a quiz. And whoever gets to give the correct answer gets a garland, okay? Okay? How many of you know that there are 27 constellations in the sky? Do you know what a constellation is? Okay. So here is how it's going to go. I'm going to speak to you for the next 10 to 15 minutes. I'm going to talk to you about this month, why it is so special. And I'm going to talk to you about the moon. You ready for this? Okay. But before I start, I want all of you, okay, can I get your attention, please? I want all of you to welcome a very special guest. This is her first Bhagavatam class, and she's my daughter. She couldn't go to school today for whatever reason, but so she's here with me now. Rai Kripa, can you please stand up for a second? Can we loudly greet her and welcome her by chanting Hari Bol three times? Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Thank you. On my way here today, she was telling me that she really loves the moon. And I said, I love the moon too. How many of you saw the moon last night? Wasn't it gorgeous? Beautiful, right? You know what Rupa Goswami says about that moon? Anybody? He says two words. These are the first two words of the book called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. You're going to remember that name? Can you repeat it for me? Bhakti, Rasamrita, Sindhu. Srila Prabhupada translates that as nectar of devotion. Okay? And the first two words of that book is, the first two most important words of that book is Vidhur Jayati. You know what Jayati means? Anybody? Jayati? It's like Jay. How many of you go? Jai, when you get a great gulab jamun. Okay, no gulab. Which one do you like the most? What is better than gulab jamuns? Ice cream, somebody said? No, not ice cream. What is better than gulab jamuns? Yes. Some things are better than gulab jamun, okay. Chocolate is better than gulab jamun. Yes, my friends at the back. Huh? What? I can't hear you, my friend. Brownies are better than gulab jamun. Okay, brownies. Brownies. Rasamalai. I am with you on that one. Rasamalai is better than brownies. Okay, we're going to stop the competition there. When you experience something very good, very beautiful, so overwhelming, you go, yay. That's like jai. Okay? And you know what Rupa Goswami says? Yay to the moon, Vidhur Jayati. Vidhur Jayati. Now what's Vidhu? Vidhu is the moon. But Vidhu also means Krishna. So the first verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says, wow, wonderful moon. You're flanked by two these beautiful constellations. Pashimara Taraka Palihi, Taraka and Pali. And have you noticed one thing? The moon is never in the same space in the sky every night. It's always like a little different. You notice that? You know what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says? It's like it's a dancing moon. The moon is dancing. And so how is it dancing? It is dancing between the stars. And Rupa Goswami explains that is like Krishna dancing between the gopis. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet? Okay. Rupa Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says one more thing. You know what he says? Krishna is like the moon. Krishna is like one more thing in the night sky. Can somebody guess? Anybody? Yes. You can say there are constellations, yes, but there is one very particular one, yes. The North Star, that's right. The word Dhruva in Sanskrit means something that doesn't move, inviolable. So the North Star is called Dhruva. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that all stars in the sky dance in a circle around that North Star. Did you notice that? Okay, you can ask your professor, Pracharananda Prabhu. He will tell you, he is good at this stuff. You know who to ask, right? Okay. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that just like the pole star and all the other stars in the night sky, all the other stars are like us. Are you clear? And what do all the other stars do? They dance around the North Star. They dance around the North Star. And this month, one very particular thing happens. There is one particular constellation called Kritika. Kritika. Did you know that? Okay, I'm going to ask you this quiz next month when I come back. What are the 27 constellations? Ask your teachers, look it up. You should be able to name at least 5. You know?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, go for it.
Sagittarius.
No, the Sanskrit ones, the Indian ones.
Okay.
You know Anuradha?
Yeah.
Vishakha?
No.
Vishakha is a constellation.
It is.
Yes. So these constellations are beautiful stars dancing around the pole star. Like Vishakha, Krishna's friend, dances around Krishna. That's what it is. But I'll give you the garland for saying Sagittarius. You tried. I like that. So Krishna is always fixed in the middle. Krishna, okay, ready? Krishna is always Krishna. Can I hear that from you once? Krishna is always Krishna. Krishna never changes, just like the pole star. The pole star doesn't move. But all the other stars, they dance around the pole star, like living beings always dancing around Krishna. Okay? So that's how the living entities dance. They dance around Krishna like stars around the pole star. And how does Krishna dance? How does Krishna dance? Like Krishna dances like the moon that goes around the 27 constellations. So this month, the skies get darker more quickly. We are approaching winter. It gets clearer. The monsoon is going away. It rains less and less and less. When you look up in the skies, just look at the stars and think about this. Do you know how to figure out the pole star in the sky? How many of you know how to figure out the pole star in the sky? You follow the... Yes, go for it. You go like that and you go away, away, and then you follow a question mark.
Yeah.
You follow a question mark. And you know, like a question mark, and the bottom of the question mark is a little dot. Ask your professor, Pracharananda Prabhu. He knows. Okay, good. And if he doesn't tell you, just come to me, okay? I'll figure that out for you. Once you see the pole star, remember, all the other stars dance around it like we are dancing around Krishna right now. You know this? When you're going about your day, when you're going to school, when you're going home, when you're eating your lunch, you may or may not understand this, you may or may not realize this, but all of us are always dancing around Krishna. It's just that sometimes, you know, you dance and you forget you're dancing. Has that ever happened to you? No? That means you're really smart. But some people who are dancing all the time, who are dancing like a as a professional, they're dancing and dancing and then they lose themselves. They forget they're dancing. And then suddenly remember, oh, I'm dancing. It's just like that. You're dancing and you remember, oh, I'm actually dancing around Krishna. Do you know how fast you're spinning right now? Do you know how fast you're spinning right now? Yes. You already answered, so yes. ₹1,300 kilometers per hour, is that correct, Professor? Something like that. You could look it up. But do you feel that? Do you feel that? You don't feel it. You're actually moving. Yes. 100,000 what? kilometers. So there are two ways you're moving. First, the earth is spinning, right? And you're sitting on the surface of earth, so you're spinning with the earth. And then the earth is going around the sun. And it's moving on its orbit in a very fast, so you're moving two times. Do you feel it?
No.
No, but actually this planet is spinning and it's dancing. And the earth is dancing around the sun. Yes.
Less?
Yes, there are two kinds of forces, centrifugal force and centripetal force. Your professor knows this. He will tell you. Right? And when bodies dance around each other like that, they create this attraction and repulsion, and that's what helps planets not collide with each other. And you know what the Bhagavatam says about that? The force of gravity is called Sankarshan. You see Balaram there? He is the supreme personality of the force of gravity. Krishna, Karshan means to attract. Krishna means something that attracts everything else. Sankarshan is the energy of Krishna that attracts everything to Krishna. And that's why only Balaram can put his hand around Krishna like that. Do you see that? Do you see that?
Yes.
That's a lot of weight, you know. Only somebody who is equal to Krishna can handle Krishna's weight. And Bhagavatam explains that power, that weight is what makes gravity work, Sankarshan. Okay? So before you head out, thank you very much. I'll see you next month. If you have any questions, you can ask me now. They have 5 minutes to go, right? They have 5 minutes to go. So any questions for me? Any questions for me? You know how Krishna dances. You know how we dance around Krishna. You know why the moon is special. Any questions for me? And then I'm going to speak to the adults once you're in class. Yes.
Which constellation is Kritika?
Yeah, you can talk about it.
Kritika is the constellation.
What is it in English?
I don't know.
Oh, it's the Pleiades.
Okay, there you go. Thank you for coming to my rescue. But the word Kartika comes from Kritika. The month of Kritika is Kartika. And Kritika is the constellation that represents Radharani. So this month is the month of Radharani. Okay? Thank you. Anybody has any questions? Any questions? Yes. Dhruva. The North Star.
But he lived there or he is this,
He
lived there or he is.
He exists there. That is the realm of Dhruva. But that is also the realm of Vishnu. Because Dhruva wanted shelter at Vishnu's feet, he got shelter there. And so the planet is also known as Dhruva. The personality who lives there is also known as Dhruva.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And means, you say that Dhruva means? Immovable. How
Dhruva means inviolable, something that cannot be moved, something that is fixed. No, you can have it.
Okay.
Yeah? That's okay. You can give it to another friend. Okay, any questions from the grown-ups? Yes, Prabhu. Can somebody pass the microphone?
In the Bhagavatam, it's stated that, I don't have the exact quote, unfortunately, but the Brahmanda, the universe, is 4 billion miles in diameter. So in modern science, it's said that these planets and these universes are trillions of light years away. So that seems like a direct contradiction to what Srimad Bhagavatam is stating, because at the end of this Brahmanda, you have the Mahatattva, and you cannot see beyond the gross elements that cover the Brahmanda, what to speak of the Ahamkara, which is the final layer. So how can you reconcile this?
First of all, I want to first give a disclaimer. I am very bad at numbers. I suck at math. But having said that, this is how I understand it. I've looked into it a little bit. The purpose of Srimad Bhagavata is not astronomy or cosmology. The purpose of the Bhagavatam is to give us a cosmology of consciousness. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, Brahmando Bhramite Kono Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Bij. We get the seed of bhakti by the grace of Guru and Krishna. And then when we cultivate that seed with hearing and chanting, that goes into a sapling and then a plant and then a tree and it keeps growing. And then the Chaitanya Charitamrita and other acharyas also explain that this tree goes through the various planetary systems. So that is the purpose of the planetary systems in the Bhagavata and other Puranic literature, Sattvic Puranas, to explain the growth of bhakti through these planets. So Pitriloka is one layer, for example. What is Pitriloka? Our identity with our ancestors. When we identify, I am Indian, I am American, I am this family, I am this Gotra, right? That is, we can only go up to Pitriloka if we are in that consciousness. Brahmaloka means no external designated identity. The Upanishads explain how when we fall asleep and we are in a state of dreamless sleep, we experience Brahman. It is a state of peace, right? So that is the experience of Brahmaloka. And this is also the logic of what Srila Prabhupada explains in Easy Journey to Other Planets, right? Only when you are able to cross these places, you may experience Vaikuntha. Kuntha means suffering. When I do corporate programs or college programs, I say Kuntha is a sad problem, SAD, stress, anxiety, depression. Vaikuntha, Vai means without. The realm without suffering is Vaikuntha. But that is not Goloka Vrindavan. So the one thing that makes Gokula or Goloka distinct unto itself is that Krishna has all Aishwarya, but he doesn't take himself seriously. This is the beauty of Krishna in his fullness. And Parashara Muni, who is the father of Vyasadeva, explains the six qualities that make Bhagavan: all strength, wealth, beauty, strength, wealth, fame, knowledge, and detachment. Detachment means Krishna does not take himself seriously. In fact, all other avatars take themselves seriously to one extent or another. Only Krishna does not. Even in the middle of the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna is a bunch of nerves and casts down his weapons, Krishna smiles before speaking. Who smiles in a battlefield? That's why ete chamsa kalapumsa krishnas to bhagavan swayam. Bhagavan swayam means he has certain qualities that make him bhagavan swayam. Everybody else is bhagavan, but this is bhagavan himself. The original personality, right? To reach to that, the creeper of bhakti lata finally blossoms and it may touch the feet of Radha and Krishna after journeying through the cosmos. So that is the purpose of the cosmos. Now, in that regard, how many miles it is wide, whether it matches up with our calculation, in a sense is irrelevant. Every form of research, and I have been a researcher good 25 years. I serve as a dean of faculty at a university, right? I understand research very well. Every research has its own method and its own purpose. There is a reason people seek knowledge and they find the knowledge they are seeking. Western cosmology, from the time of Galileo, developed with a certain idea that the biblical version, that the world is only 6,000 years old, cannot be true. Right? And anybody who contradicted that got into trouble. There was a farmer, and there is a great book by Carlo Ginzburg, a great historian written on this, who said, I believe that life comes from cheese. You know why? The devotees will love it. Life comes from cheese. He said, this is the only instance where I see something living come from something non-living. He let some cheese, you know, rot, and he saw worms come out of it. He said, this is it. Life comes from cheese. And he wrote a book about it. Life comes from cheese. And the church said, this is heretical. Unless you take this back, we're going to burn you at the stake. And he said, no, but I saw worms come from cheese. And there is a book on this, Worm and the Cheese. And he said, I can't take my word back. And so he was burnt at the stake. So a lot of what we call modern science emerged out of Europe as a reaction against the church. And they had two very distinct methodologies, positivism and empiricism. Means we cannot believe in anything that we cannot measure. Now that, I think, is a very immature way to approach knowledge. What can you really measure? How much can you measure? Sahasra shirsha purushaha sahasraksha sahasrapad tatra tishtha dash angulam. Rigveda says, this is something you cannot measure with your 10 fingers. Ma, one of the etymologies of maya, okay, ma means don't, like ma kuru, don't do this. And ya is whatever, this. So don't do this is maya. Don't measure is maya. And the word ma means to measure. So it's a dual, it's a slesha, it's two meanings. Like the word map, mapa in Sanskrit, map in English, means the earth has been measured. So measurement is very useful to a certain extent, but it has its limitations. Right now, what you're saying is the modern scientific figures has been measured with a certain method, with a certain imagination of the universe. But this isn't final. And the purpose is to show that the God of the, you know, the church that was there in the 14th, 12th through 14th, 15th centuries doesn't really know what the Bible is saying. So if we take that as a paradigm, as the baseline, then no matter what you do, you're going to be stuck with that baseline. However, if you remove yourself from that parameter and you say, okay, you know, reacting against the church is not my agenda, way past. The Western civilization might have developed this way, but what we are dealing with here in Vedic civilization is far more ancient, far more deep, far more mature, and far more responsible. When you approach like that and you say, what is the purpose? The purpose is not to disprove the church wrong, but the purpose is to grow the bhakti lata so we reach the feet of Krishna. For that purpose, we need to understand how this universe works. After that, if Mars is on my right or Mars is above my head, doesn't matter. The last thing I want to say, this is a very, very important question. Devotees always get confused about this. Western cosmology is impersonal. The primary assumption of Western cosmology is that nature exists to destroy us. If we don't fight against nature, if we don't conquer nature, if we don't exploit nature, nature is going to take over, nature is going to destroy us. This is the basis of everything we do in our civilization. Vedic civilization is the exact opposite. We believe nature is out to destroy us. We believe nature is impersonal. Vedic civilization starts with everything is personal. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wrote that English poem. Impersonal calamity thou hast moved, he said about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Impersonalism is a calamity, psychological disease. Personalism means vayu, this breeze that is flowing in the room has personality. Pavan. Water is Varuna. Early morning sun is Usha. Thunder is Indra. Vak, words is Vak, Vacha, Saraswati. Everything, the speech that is coming out has personality. Everything has personality. Right? Space is a personality. That's why before you start any building, you worship the Lord as Vishwakshera. You invoke that personality there. Time, Kala is personality. Personality means you can interact with it. There is some kind of an exchange. Impersonality means you're just numbers. And I'll give you a very, very quick example. If you hear in the news that there has been a murder in some district in Florida, you will get upset. If somebody says 22 people dead, the emotional reaction won't be the same, because then it's a statistic. So statistic is impersonal. But when you hear a story, story is personal. Srimad Bhagavatam is personal. The cosmology of the Bhagavatam is personal. When you look at Mother Nature as a person, you cannot exploit it. This is the solution to the environmental crisis today, climate change, disasters. This is the solution. Huh? And so cosmology is less about the numbers and places. You know, that can change. Cosmology is our psychology of how we imagine our place in the universe. And given any day, I would go with the Bhagavatam than with random numbers. Was I able to reflect on your question, Prabhu?
Yeah, so you're, from what I'm understanding, you're saying is that the main focus, which of course the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to ultimately take shelter of the lotus feet.
The purpose of the cosmology in Srimad Bhagavatam is to grow our bhakti to Krishna. The purpose of cosmology that is giving numbers that do not match with the Bhagavatam is to exploit nature. You choose.
To inspire attention, as I said?
Exploit nature.
Oh, okay.
Why do you need all this data? Because you want to exploit nature. So, start with the purpose. We'll figure out the numbers later. What is the motivation? The motivation of the Bhagavatam is we appreciate nature as God's energy. We accept nature as something personal. Bhumi, earth, is our mother. Ma. Matri Bhumi. There is an emotional attachment. It is not impersonal. We are not measuring her to pillage her. There is a difference. So let's first understand the purpose of cosmology. Then worry about cosmology. Yes, Prabhu. We have 2 minutes to go and then we'll stop at 9.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanavad. So in that first verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, so in that last line, Vidura means the moon. Hmm. But he's saying Radha Prayan Vidura Jayati. So in this way, because he's described that in the first part, that Prasmar Viruruchi Tarakapali. So also these are all the paksh, different paksh, like for Chandravali, Radhika.
Correct.
I'm going quickly because
yeah.
of time. So here, Vidu can mean both Krishna and Srimati Radhika.
Vidhu, the translations and the commentaries that I have seen,
yes.
Vidhu means moon,
yes.
as Krishna there, because he is flanked by Taraka and Pali,
yes.
and the Sanskrit verse itself starts with Akhila Rasamrita Murti.
Mm-hmm.
So Akhila Rasamrita Murti is Krishna.
Yes.
So the Vidhu goes with that Akhila Rasamrita Murti in Sanskrit.
Yes.
So Vidhur Jayati, that Vidhu is Akhila Rasamrita Murti, Prashramara Taraka Pali, flanked by Taraka and Pali. But, you know, rasikas can bring out any meaning.
Yes.
So, why not?
I heard the Gata that the Radha Prayan is Prayasi.
Radha Prayan.
Is the moon for Krishna.
Yes. Both ways. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yadavar Prabhu, so nice to see you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, everybody.